You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Right on the Money. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hello, New Point. I'm going to ask a big favor of you. Would you just pause and let's pray for Stuart? I think he needs a lot of help, and I think he needs your prayers and my prayers. Well, we're in this series called Right on the Money, and here's what we mean by that. Right on the money refers to being correct. It refers to being true. It refers to hitting the nail on the head. And so here's what we've been learning about money. Everything belongs to God. Everything comes from God. Everything is distributed by God. And we learned last week that God views our stuff, not just our money, but our stuff, differently than you and I view our stuff. And we learned that God views our stuff as a tool, something to be leveraged. He views it as a test, something that you and I are going to give an account for. And he views it as a trademark. It really lets people know who we belong to. Do we really belong to our stuff, or do we belong to God? Now, I trust that you who were here last week, that you've been praying, that you've been thinking, that you have got your creative juices flowing on what you're going to do with the gift that you received. And I need to remind you again that it's not yours, okay? It's not yours. You've been entrusted with it. It's a tool for you to leverage to be able to be a blessing to someone or maybe a group of people. And it's a test to find out if you're going to follow through on that. And let me just encourage you with a few things about that, all right? Don't take out your friend for lunch, okay? I mean, let's be a little bit more creative than that, okay? Get together with your small group or maybe your family. At the Mason household, we got together with our family and we decided to pull all of our money together. And what we're going to do is we're going to buy ingredients to make stromboli. And we're going to see how much we can increase the money that we received from New Point so that we can leverage it and maximize it to the fullest. Now, I know that there's another small group, and this is incredible because what happens is when you begin to share your story, what happens is you begin to connect with other people, and they begin to learn what you're doing, and everybody wants to be a part of something significant. And I was talking to one small group leader, and here's what he said. He said, we decided to leverage our money, pull our money together, and to help a homeless shelter. And so what they did is they called the homeless shelter, and they said, what do you need? They said, you know what, we have a lot of things, but what we are lacking is meat. And so one of their group members made a few phone calls, and guess what? They were able to take an SUV full of chicken and ham to the homeless center and to be able to give it to them. Isn't that incredible? And it goes even more than that. As they were making connections and trying to find out who they could help and if anybody knew of other people they could help, one person said to them, hey, you know what? I got a cow. And if you'll pay for the process of the meat, it's free. And so now they're going to be able to donate a whole cow. Is that incredible or what? You see, that's how God works. All we have to do is get creative. All we have to do is make ourselves available. All we have to do is be willing to share and invite others into this incredible opportunity of blessing other people. And then God shows up in an incredible, unbelievable way. And we all stand in amazement of his goodness and of his greatness. And that's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, this past Friday, something incredible happened at New Point, at our Dover campus. All of our campuses, though, were involved. We tag teamed with the Tim Tebow Foundation. And Tim Tebow, though I don't know him personally, from a distance, it looks like he views his stuff as a tool, as a test, and as a trademark. Because of his resources, he established a foundation. And what he is doing is he has established a foundation to help people who have special needs. And so what happened this past Friday night was at 375 locations, one of them happened to be at our Dover campus, 375 locations, there was a prom for people with special needs. And he gave some seed money of $2,500 to help every location. He was leveraging his resources. He was using it as a tool. And you know what? Something incredible, unbelievable happened, because what that did is that mobilized a whole lot of other people to bring about much, much joy and a whole lot of love to a whole lot of people. And I just want you to watch this, and you'll begin to get a taste of what happened just this last Friday night. Watch this video. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know why that happened? Because one individual saw their stuff as a tool to be leveraged. And it created a rippling effect. 375 locations all around the world. Because they understood their stuff. And you know what? You can't put a dollar on that, can you? I've heard people say, hey, you know what? I went to my prom in high school every year and never had as much fun as I did that night at that prom. And that's how God works. That's how God works. And it's amazing when we see our stuff, which is literally His stuff that He's entrusted to you and me, as a tool, as a test, and as a trademark. So here's what I want to encourage you, okay? By March the 12th, we want to be able to have stories, either that you write in on that card that you received last week, or you can go to New Point, and there'll be a location there of where you can be able to write your own story. Now, you might be here today, and you might be thinking, what on earth happened last week? Go to the podcast and download it, and you'll find out, all right? But we're glad that you're here today, okay? And here's what I want to do today. Today, I want to share with you the number one reason why many of us, or should I say most of us, don't give more freely. The reason why we are hesitant in giving. The reason why we hold back in giving. And even though we hear that it's more blessed to give than receive, even though we might believe that everything belongs to God and everything comes from God and everything is distributed by God, yet when it comes to percentage giving, when it comes to consistent giving, when it comes to truly being generous, we're not there. We don't act on that. And I believe the number one reason is because we're afraid. We're afraid. It's not that we're greedy. It's not that we're selfish. It's the fact that we're afraid. And what happens is we what if our way out of being generous. We what if our way out of being a giver. We what if our way out of being a steward. And here's how it goes. What if I don't get that bonus? What if I don't get that raise? What if my refrigerator goes out? What if I need a new roof? What if I get sick? What if, fill in the blank, what if the economy turns? And what happens is when we do that, we don't really realize what's happening to us. We talk ourselves out of giving. We talk ourselves out of being generous. And basically what we're saying to God is this: I'm afraid that there's going to be a rainy day. I'm afraid that something's going to go wrong in my life, and I'm not going to be prepared for it, and that it's going to impact me negatively financially. And as much as I would like to give, and as much as I'd like to be generous, and as much as I'd like to be a good steward, what happens is I'm scared, I'm afraid, I'm nervous. And though I want to live my life like everything belongs to you and everything comes from you and everything is distributed by you and that my stuff is a tool and a test and a trademark, you know what? I'm afraid. I'm scared. And it's not that I'm greedy. It's not that I'm selfish. I'm just afraid. And yet, the fact of the matter is, you don't have any control over whether you bottom out financially or not. By and large, there's things that can happen to you, and there's things that can happen to me that's out of my control. And it's out of your control. And what happens is, that's why we get into this what if thing. And so we don't become generous. We don't become intentional with our giving. Because let me ask you this. If the bottom would fall out of your life financially, you know, you wouldn't pray this prayer, would you? Let me just pray it for us, all right? God, as you can see, I'm having some financial difficulty. Things aren't working out the way I thought. I didn't get the bonus. My child is sick. And my car just stopped running. But I want you to know, God, I don't need your help. I don't need your help because I've been holding out on you and I have saved so much money, I don't really need your assistance. So you go ahead and help somebody else out. Now, there's not a person here today that would pray that. Whether we are a Christ follower or not, we just wouldn't do that. If you were experiencing a financial shakeup, you know what you would pray? Same thing I would pray. God, I come to you, and I believe that everything belongs to you, and everything comes from you, and that you distribute everything. And I believe that you are able to do anything, and that nothing is too hard for you. Suddenly, when we experience financial troubles or financial shakeup, we become very religious. We become very focused on God. And suddenly we want God to be a part of our finances because we're missing something. Something has gone awry in our financial state and in our financial life. And whatever I got to do to get God involved in my finances right now, I'm willing to do that, even if it means going to church, even if it means putting a little bit in the offering plate. And yet, wouldn't you say with me that that's a little bit hypocritical? Sure it is. Now, if you're not a Christ follower today, I'm not talking to you, okay? But you can listen in, all right? And you can probably watch most of us squirm today, okay? because we're going to get at the heart of the issue of why most of us live in fear, even though we say that God is great, good, and generous. And so what I want to do today is I want us to get on the other side. And I want us to be able to learn how to invite God into our finances right now. Not when we're all messed up, not when we're scared, not when we're fearful, not when we're at the end of the rope, but right now. You see, what happens is when you and I, as Christ followers, okay, invite God into our finances ahead of time, when the bottom drops out, when you lose your job, when you have that health challenge, when you have that difficult transition, whatever it is, you're able to say to God, God, I'm not worried. I've trusted you all along. I've honored you. I've blessed you. I've obeyed you. And I have this deep sense of peace in my life that you're going to take care of me and that you're going to see me through. And you knew I would experience this before I did because you know all things. And see, that's what happens when you invite God into your finances ahead of time. And so what I want to do is I want us to look at a passage. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You can follow along in your notes. Your notes are right there. And I just want us to look at a passage of where the Apostle Paul is writing the church at Corinth. And what he has done is he's asked the church of Corinth to give an offering. And so they've already given because the church in Jerusalem was being persecuted. The church in Jerusalem was having some financial challenges. And so what Paul did is he wrote the church in Corinth about taking up an offering. And they did. And so now he's coming back and he's helping them to understand what was really going on. And how they can continually invite God to be a part of their finances. Now, here's the thing. We invite God to be a part of other areas of our life, right? Our health, right? God, I want you to be a part of my life and my health. Help me to be healthy today. Help me to be strong. Heal me. All of this stuff, okay? We invite God to be a part of our family, don't we? God, I don't know what Junior's doing. He's got a wild streak in him. But you know what, God? I'm trusting him to you, okay? Help him not to do anything stupid or dumb or kill himself. And so what happens is we want to trust God in those areas, but what happens is when it comes to our finances, we're scared. We're afraid. And we pull back. And what I want to be able to do and what Paul does is he wants us to eliminate the fear factor. Because as I've shared with you, you know what? You eliminate this fear and you will be surprised how many other fears leave your life. Because your life and my life usually revolves around stuff. And that's where we find our security. And God wants you and I to find it in him. And so Paul begins to write to the people at Corinth. And here's what he says. He says, remember this. What's he saying? I don't want you to forget this principle. Okay? Remember this. Because really, that's the case for most of us. We forget things. Would you agree with me? And really, many times what happens here at New Point, I'm just trying to remind you of things about God. Because we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to have amnesia. And so he's saying, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And so Paul was saying this, this is how you invite God into your finances. You remember the law of the harvest. You remember the law of the harvest. Let's look at this verse again. Here's what he says. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly, and the word sparingly is miserly, okay, will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know what he's basically saying? Whatever you sow, you're going to what? you're going to reap. He says it's the law of the harvest. Don't forget that. I want to remind you of the law of the harvest. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It's like a farmer. Okay, a farmer knows this principle. I promise you. You talk to any farmer, and they know this principle. You don't sow wheat and get corn. Okay? And what you would find out with any farmer is they don't hoard their seed. You know what they're usually doing with their seed? They're very what? They're very generous with their seed. I mean, they just take it and they just sow it. You know why? Because they understand this principle. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And so if you and I want to be able to invite God into our finances, we have to remember the law of the harvest. Now, sowing is an invitation for you and I to invite God into our financial situation. And listen to me. Once God is there, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Once you and I have invited God into the area of our finances, you have nothing to worry about. And the reason why we fear is because we can't control our circumstances. So we live in the what ifs. And the what ifs will push God right out of your life. And we can't control our circumstances, and we can't control God. And God says, hey, look, you know what? I know the future. I know what's around the corner. I know what's over the hill. I know what's going to happen next quarter. I know what's going to happen next year. And so he says here, if you give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you give generously, you're going to reap generously. Now, I know what you're thinking, okay? Because really, I'm even nervous about teaching on this. Because what happens is you can take it to the extreme. And here's what probably some of you are saying. Do you mean I can get rich? You mean if I give $100, I can get $1,000 back? Listen, can I just say something to all of us here today? You're already rich. So this isn't about getting rich. Okay? It's much deeper than that. It's much broader than that. But here's the question that you have to ask. How are you going to sow seed in your life? And how are you going to sow seed into God's kingdom? Because here's what I believe. The smartest, the wisest, the most providential thing that you and I could ever do is learn how to be a generous sower and to be able to sow big time and to be able to do that. And so you have to remember the law of the harvest, that what you sow, you're going to reap. Now, I know what this brings up in our mind. It brings up this question here, and is this, well, then how much should I give, right? How much should I tithe on the gross? Should I tithe on the net? What should I do about the amount that I give? Well, you know what? Paul answers this question. Here's what he says. Let's look at this. He says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so if you're going to invite God into your finances on the front end, you need to remember the law of the harvest. But Paul says here, you need to plan to be a generous sower. You need to plan to be a generous sower. Look what he says here. Let's go back to verse 7. He says, each of you should give what you have decided. Each of you should give what you have planned to give in your heart. And so what he is saying is this, okay? You and I should sit down. We should take inventory. We should talk. And we should say, you know what? This is what we're going to give. Patty and I did it for this year. We sat down and we talked. This is what we should give. And so we know what we're going to give. Now, what happens is this can make pastors nervous, especially TV pastors. Okay? Because what Paul was saying is this. He says, do not give what? Under compulsion. What he is saying is never let anyone pressure you. Never let anyone guilt you. That if you're going to involve God in your finances, okay, the amount that you should give should be determined by you, and let's say you're married, you and your spouse sitting down, looking at your finances, and saying, this is what God has given us. What should we do in light of that fact? Now, here's the reason why many of us get nervous about giving. You don't have a plan. And so what happens is when somebody talks about giving, you get all jacked up. I don't know why are they asking? I don't know what we can't afford to do. I mean, we got kids in college, and we have this, and we have that, and I can't, all they want is our money. You know what? You can talk about money all day long with me. Doesn't bother me a bit. You know why? I've already planned. I've already decided in my heart what to give. And so I can look at people honestly and with a clear conscience and a clear heart and say, you know what? I'm sure that's a great cause, but no thank you. Maybe next year. Y'all right on that one? See, the reason why so many of us feel guilty about giving is because we've never planned to be generous. We've never sat down and decided in our heart what we're going to give. And so what happens is this right here. We have impulse giving instead of planned giving. And so every time money is mentioned or somebody comes knocking on our door, we get all tight, we get all bent out of shape because you know what? We've never thought of it. We just never have thought about it. And so you need to be able to plan your giving. You need a plan. And Paul is saying, I want this to be a prayerful thing. And here is the application for us today, okay? God says for you and I that he wants you and I to sit down. He wants you and I to take a look at what he has given us and say, what does God want me to do in light of what he's blessed me with the stuff that he's entrusted me with? And you know what I mean. You know, this past week, we just celebrated what? Valentine's Day, okay? Now, I won't ask for a raise of hand, but how many of us had a spouse who got us something, or maybe a boyfriend or girlfriend who got us something, and we didn't plan to get them anything? And so maybe what happened is you went home after work and you saw the balloons and you saw the card and you went, oh no! And you excused yourself and ran to the store. And you were what? Nervous? Frantic? Panicking? Oh my lands, I gotta do this. He's gonna be there, what? And let me ask you, if you were on the other end of that, how did that make you feel? You know, you don't need to give me anything. Don't run to the store. You don't need to do that, because you know what? You didn't decide in your heart that you were going to get me something. Y'all right? You didn't plan ahead. Don't be reactionary with me. Don't do it because it's Valentine's Day. Hello? Y'all right? And I think God feels that way. God says, hey, you know what? Don't do it reluctantly. Don't do it under compulsion. Just sit down and decide in your heart. And then give. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Not a giver, but a cheerful giver. And so how you and I can invite God into our finances is to remember the law of the harvest. And then we need to plan to be generous. A generous sower. And then Paul goes on to say this. And now God is able to bless you abundantly. Why? Because we've decided in our heart what we're going to give. Because whatever you sow, you what? You reap. And God is able. That means he has the power to, okay, to bless you, how? Abundantly. As much as you're willing to give and receive. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And here's the third way that Paul says that you and I can invite God into our finances. Remember the law of the harvest, okay? Plan to be a generous sower. And then the third one is to trust God's provision. To trust God's provision. That he is a rewarder. Look at what this verse says. And God is able, God is powerful to bless who? You, the sower, okay? The giver, abundantly. Wow. Now check this out, okay? So that you can just have more, 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 more. No. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now listen to me, okay? He says, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Would that be financially secure? Would that make you financially secure if you had all things at all times, all that you need? I think so. You can't do that for yourself, though. That's why what happens is if we don't invite God into our finances, we never feel secure enough. Somebody asked Howard Hughes, how much do you want? He said, just a little bit more. Because the fact of the matter is the security of being financially secure lied in his own ability and not God's ability. And so God is saying, you know what? If you're willing to sow and you determine the measure, you know what? I'm able in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Wow, that's just incredible. And you trust God for provision. He goes on to say this. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. So what's this really about? Is this really about you and I getting rich? No, we're already rich. Listen, I got a house. I have a two-car garage. I got two cars. I got three flat screens. I've got carpet in my house. I got running water in my house. I've got a machine that washes my clothes. I got a sweeper that picks up things off of the carpet. Are you all right? I got a bed. I'm already rich. I mean, just talk to most of the world. I'm already rich. This isn't about, I'm going to give to God so I can get rich. I'm already rich, man. What this is about is that you and I can freely give our gifts to who? The poor. Those who are poor spiritually and those who are poor physically. Wow. That's what this is all about. God wants to be able to use you and I. He has a purpose in this world that he wants to fulfill. And God doesn't create money and stuff out of the air. You know what he does? He looks for men and women who know the law of the harvest, who will plan to sow generously, and who will trust him for their provision, that in all things, at all times, you will have all that you need so that you can scatter your gifts to the poor. And guess what? Here's the reward. And their righteousness will endure for what? Forever. For it will be remembered forever. Forever. He goes on to say this. Now he, talking about God, who supplies the seed. You see, everything comes from God, right? Everything belongs to God. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower, that would be you and me, and the bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You see, why wouldn't God want to bless you if you in return are willing to help fund his work and his cause and his purpose? Why wouldn't he want to do that? Are you kidding me? He wants to bless you because in blessing you, he understands that you get it. by you involving God in your finances, he knows that, you know what, your priorities is right, that you understand that it's a tool, you understand that it's a test, you understand that it's a trademark. And so why wouldn't he want to continue to bless you? You see, he goes on to say this, you will be made rich in what? Every way. Oh, there you go, Dwight, he's going to be rich in every way. We're already rich, okay? He goes on to say this, so that you can be what? Generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result to thanksgiving to God. Wow. You know, I'm hesitant to share this, but I'm going to share it anyways. I've got one story after another story after another story. Because I've involved God in our finances, and Patty has involved God in our finances. And so I'm going to trust that you'll trust my heart, all right? This past Christmas, Patty came to me around November, something like that, October, and she said, hey, I want to share something with you. And I said, what? And she said, I don't think that we should buy each other gifts this Christmas. I mean, who wants to be stressed out at Christmas trying to buy somebody something that they already have? And she said, here's what I'm thinking, if you're okay with it. She said, what if we would give all of our Christmas money and buy a well in India? I said, you got it. You got it. So we told our kids. We said, hey, you know what? Don't buy us any gifts. If you're going to get us anything, we would rather have your money. Okay? We would rather have your money, okay? Because here's what mom and dad wants to do. And so we made that pledge. This past Christmas, I get a card in the mail from a guy who does not go to New Point. I couldn't even tell you where he's at on his spiritual journey. My wife doesn't even know him, never met him. He writes a little note on the card. Here's what he says. He says, hey, I'm thankful for the way in which you are touching people's lives. And my wife and I want to bless you this Christmas. It was double the amount that we paid for the well. Y'all right? You say, is it magic? No. I'm not talking about magic. Is it the pattern? Is it the normal pattern? No, it's not the normal pattern. But sometimes God just blows you away because of what you are willing to do. And I don't really even believe that what he gave us there was all for us. I think he said, man, if I can trust you with Christmas money, maybe I can trust you with even more money. And it's just humbling. It's unbelievable to be able to see that. And I've invited God into our finances even when I was a single boy. I was going to Circleville Bible College, and I remember the church that I was involved in, they were wanting to do something special, and I was saving money for a stereo, okay? For a 20-year-old, that was big, man. Pioneer, okay, if you remember those, all right? And I wanted a stereo, and I remember sitting in church that God asked me to empty my bank account and said, I want you to give it to this. And I struggled with God because I had visioned it. Man, I had it set up in my dorm room and all of that. And I thought, man, you know what? I'm going to be blowing people away. And through a process, I ended up saying yes to God, and I wrote out that check. And within 2 weeks, a guy followed me out to the parking lot. Here's what he said. Boy, have you looked at your tires? They are bald. You're going to kill yourself coming back from school and going to our church. Here's what I want to do. I want you to take the car down to this tire shop, and I want them to put 4 brand new tires on it. Could I just say that was more money than I had in my bank account for a stereo? And I've learned at a very, very young age that you know what? You can't outgive God. And what happens is when you learn to be able to invite God into your finances, it begins to eliminate the fear factor in our life. You see, look at this verse here as I wrap up. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you think that when God shared with all of heaven that he was going to give his one and only son, do you think heaven kind of said, I think you're going overboard. Are you really going to give your son? And God said, yes. You know what? Whatever you sow, you reap. And I want to reap a family. I want to reap a group of people who love me and who I love. And I want to be able to have fellowship with them. So today I encourage you to invite God into your finances, because here's what I believe. To the degree God gets your stuff, he gets your heart. He gets your heart. And you say, Dwight, what is your agenda in all of this? Let me tell you my agenda, is that you realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ. That's my agenda. And here's what I know. God will never get your heart unless he gets your stuff. And if he never gets your stuff, he's never had your heart. And it's best for you and I to be able to invite God into our finances on this side than when the bottom falls out. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We love you. We care for you. We thank you that you love us and you care for us. And you've made it so simple. And I pray that you would give us the courage to dive in. And in spite of where we're at financially, I pray that we would say, you know what? I'm going to invite you into my finances. And I pray that you would speak to us and affirm us in a very, very powerful and personal way so that we can be able to see our faith and your faithfulness intersect, and we will know that you are God. And so, God, today we invite you into our finances and ask you to be the owner, as we are the managers. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.